Order. Matthew 16:18.
On Sunday night, people usually come to church. They're more grounded. They're, you know, people are seeking truth. When they seek truth, I did it on Sunday morning. Most people do before they're saved. And on Sunday night, people come back to be fed, to be motivated, encouraged, whatever. And Lord really blessed that sermon this morning. I can tell He's working in people. But tonight, I want to get a little bit more church sermon than individual sermon. Look at Matthew 16:18, if you will. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit about how we, Cornerstone Baptist Church, can have a successful church. Just for a few minutes, okay? Amen. Jesus was walking along one day with His disciples, His apostles. And He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" He asked them that question. And one of them said, "Well, some say you're Elijah coming back," because Elijah never died, you know. They say, "Some say you're a great prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead," because, you know, John had his head cut off for preaching. And others say other things. And so He looked at them and He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And old Peter, you know, he was a Baptist preacher. Ain't no doubt about Peter. He looked at him and He said, if you look with me, He said unto him in verse 15, He said unto him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said in verse 16, answering, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then He told Peter, He said, "Now you've said that well, that's exactly who I am." And He said, on that, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now the Catholic Church would tell you that it's on the Pope or it's on the church. But Jesus said, and they'll say Peter, and by the way, Peter never even went to Rome. And Peter was married and had a mother-in-law. Jesus healed her one time. I don't know how he qualified to be a Pope. If there is any such thing as a Pope to begin with. No hope in the Pope. Write that one down somewhere. Listen. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "We're going to build a church on that. That's what we're going to build it on right there. We're not going to build it on denominational motives. We're not going to build it on being famous or TV shows and all that. We're going to build a church on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to build it on." Now, we've done that here. We've already done that. Would y'all say we've already done that? I mean, everything here revolves around Him and His name. Somebody told me the other day, they said, "I've never been in a church and heard preaching where every sermon ended up on Jesus Christ." Well, that's what it's supposed to. It's supposed to be all about Him. I told you that church I left that time, and the only thing they could find wrong with me, they said, "All he does is preach Jesus." That's what they accused me of. So tonight, I want to show you, now we've got that settled. We know what that is. We do that here. That's what it's all about here. But if we're going to do that, then there's some other things we're going to have to do to make that work after you preach it. I mean, there's some things we're going to have to do to make the church work, okay? And if we're going to be successful, and by success, I don't mean money or name on a TV set or something. By successful, I mean a place where people can come, hear the Word, be saved, be encouraged, be blessed, grow in grace and knowledge, okay? Whether you know it or not, everybody needs a good church. I'll say it again. Everybody needs a good church. And some people say, "Well, I don't need the church." Tell me that when somebody's in the hospital. Tell me that when the doctor told you you got cancer, you got 6 months to live. Tell me that when your family breaks up. Tell me that whenever you're brokenhearted. Tell me that when your child runs off and leaves you. Tell me that when your husband runs off and leaves you. Your wife runs off and leaves you. Tell me that when somebody's sick and dying. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? And so a lot of people won't admit it, but we got it's a place of refuge. We can run in here and be attacked by the devil all week, and be attacked by the world all week, be attacked by our own flesh all week, and get into this little city of refuge right here and find refuge and rest for just a few hours. I preached this morning. You don't need these worldly counselors. And a woman got mad at me and left out of here today mad because I said you don't need worldly counselors. Let me tell you something. Church, if you'll go to church regular, be in every service, you'll get all the counseling you need. Amen. This morning, I preached every problem you ever had this morning. This morning, I showed you how to get an answer to every problem you ever had this morning in one sermon, and it's about 45 minutes long. I preached. And look, if you want help, if you want a refuge, if you want a place where you can find love and care, the local church ought to be that place. Could I hear amen on that? Amen. We need encouragement. We need hope. We need help. We all do. And boy, been many a times I've walked in church and barely, brokenhearted, barely even wanted to go anymore, and walk in church and the Lord and the Lord's people lift me up. There's been times I've walked in here didn't even feel like preaching. And get up here and get started and God show up and people start encouraging you, you know. Everybody needs a good church. But not everybody wants to grow in church. And here's the reason why, I think. Because a growing church is about Jesus Christ and others, not self. And as a church grows, the self is going to get a little bit smaller with every addition. Well, I don't like a big church. It's unfriendly. It's as friendly as you make it. And by the way, everything rides and falls right here on this pulpit, right here. If your preacher's unfriendly, the church will be unfriendly. If your preacher won't sing, the church won't sing. If your preacher won't work, the church won't. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then it goes from here out through there. So it doesn't have a thing to do with size. You know, I went to a church one time, had 7,500 people in attendance, and I felt like I was right at home. People were friendly. I was sitting up in the balcony. And this little boy leaned over the balcony with he done took a bulletin and made an airplane in it, and he went, it went floating out across those 4,000 or 5,000 on the floor, and finally landed over in front of a lady with a mink coat on, and she was sitting beside a lady who looked like a bag lady off the street. I felt right at home. It ain't got nothing to do with the size of the crowd. It's what are you? And that's what makes a church. When you get it away from being about you to being about him and others, it'll tickle you to death every time a new person walks in the door, every time a new person gets saved. Tracy's daughter got saved today. Y'all wasn't here. She did it after church. But we'll be jumping pews over that. We'll have thousands of those going on. Amen? And that wouldn't make you jealous if you're right with God. You'd get up and say, here, there ain't nowhere to sit. Take my pew. I'll stand over here somewhere. Amen? But the reason some people don't like a growing church, a successful church that wins people to Christ and brings in people that are looking and are desiring God, is because they're afraid the spotlight will move off of them. Come on, now. And all the attention will get off of them. And when it becomes about the others, then they don't get their little back padded, and they don't get their little praise, and they don't get their little hand clap, you know. And it, y'all understand what I'm talking about? Now I'm going to show you how you can have a good church, a growing church, a church that God blesses, and you can do it scripturally, and you don't have to have flashing lights, you don't have to have smoke rolling across the floor, and you don't have to have a drum set, and you don't have to have a hippie band, and you don't have to have a preacher with spiked hair and cut up blue jeans and flip flops and a Hawaiian shirt. Amen. Come on. Be a cold day where the booger man lives before I ever go there. Amen. Number one, turn to Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. You know, some people walk in here, and if they play the guitar, Brother Bill, they think we're supposed to let them play the guitar. And if they sing, they think we're supposed to let them sing. And if they do something, they think we're supposed to let them do something. They think this is a karaoke bar or mic night or something. I don't know what they think. They think it's a free-for-all. But you won't go to a church where God blesses it that is a free-for-all. Ephesians 4:14. Look at it. In verse 14, he said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, let me tell you something. People that do not try to do things decently and in order will get out of order, and it'll ruin the whole thing. Amen? I messed up the other week. I messed up. This fellow come in here, and somebody said he owned 15 guitars. I said, he must know how to play the guitar. He said, yeah, and I sing too. And I let him sing. And I let him play the guitar. And he was playing what kind of guitar was it? High dollar guitar. I said, no, he don't know how to play the guitar. Now, look. Thank God for people that want to do something for God. But thank God more for people that are wanting to do something for God, but they're willing to practice and to pray and to work and to get organized and to be something that God can be proud of, not just an accident. Amen. A lot of people live for an accidental blessing. They'll go to church and they'll say, Lord, bless us if you can. Now, disorganized people, a disorganized church will always be unfruitful. We need different ways to reach people. We do. We've got that internet site. It'd shock you how many people come in here and say, we found your church on the internet. And we listen to your preaching. And I say, what I say, you still come? And I say things like that, and I make jokes like that, but I got news for you. I know what I'm going to do before I get up here. And I know what I'm going to say before I get up here. And I know what everybody else is going to do. And if the Lord wants to get in and change that, that's fine with me. But I think you ought to be ready when you get up. Amen. So we got the internet. Facebook. My wife made me shut down about three of those Facebook. I had so many Facebook pages I couldn't keep up with them. Facebook told me, make all you can, hook them all together. Well, I made them all, but I didn't know how to hook them together. But anyway, some of you high-tech rednecks probably know more about that than I do. Now listen, we got church brochures. We hand them out. We've got gospel tracts. We hand them out. I make calls and texts and send out letters and things every week. Some of y'all got the Christmas card this past week. Did you like that Christmas card? Miss Pat signs those. Somebody came to my wife today and said, I want to thank you for sending that beautiful Christmas card. Did you get one? Did your wife tell you if you got one? You ain't seen it. But that beautiful card said, I'm glad. Thank you for sending that card. My wife said, I didn't sign that card. Said, we gave Pat power of attorney to sign those cards. And poor Pat. She's legally blind, and it tickles her to death. It tickles her to death to sign those cards because she's legally blind. Nobody wants her to do anything. Amen? But we don't just come in here and say, well, what are we going to do, Brother Ron? We know what we're going to do. Amen? Y'all still with me? And then sometimes people come in here and they think because we're smaller, you know, and we're kind of a young church, that you can just come in and, oh, well, I got a song. I got a CD. Woo! I'm going to sing. We've done that too, haven't we? But here's what destroyed the Quakers. Y'all heard of Quakers, right? Not the cream of wheat, the grits. Y'all heard of No, it ain't. We'll talk about that later. The Quakers were founded by a man named Quaker. And here was his idea of church. We all get together and we sit around and we quietly, silently pray and ask God to speak to somebody. And when God speaks to somebody, they'll stand up and tell us what he said. And did you know a lot of times God forgot to speak to anybody? Nobody said anything. They'd sit in there for hours waiting on God to speak. And nobody heard anything. And so nobody said anything. Nobody sang anything. And a lot of times when they did say something, they said something that didn't make any sense. And now you barely can find a Quaker church. They call them brethren now, I think. Something like that. Number two. Lord, be obedient. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. By the way, I told somebody the other day, I said, look, I know I ain't much, but I'm the pastor here. And if you want to do something, just ask me and we'll talk about it. But I ain't letting you jump up. I done been embarrassed too many times. Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. I remember we had a lady come in one time. She said, a man. And she said, the man brought her and he said he could lead to singing. And he could. He was a good song leader. And he pointed this lady out with him. He said, she can play the piano. She plays by ear. And she played by her foot, everything she played. Amazing Grace sounded just like How Great Thou Art. And I wish you a Merry Christmas. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Or anything else you want to sing. They all sounded exactly alike. Dun, 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 dun. You got to get a little bit organized. Leave room for the Lord, but get organized, you know. Acts 26, look at verse 19. You got it? Look at verse 19. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now Paul is telling him, look, I'm doing this because God told me to do it. I'm not doing it because I chose to do it. I'm not doing it because you want me to do it. I'm doing it because I'm being obedient to the vision that God gave me. Now, if we're going to have a good church, we're going to have to be obedient to God. Well, preacher, that other church don't do it that way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry they don't do it that way. But we're going to be obedient to the Lord. And I used to tell my kids that all the time. They said, well, my friends get to do this, they get to do that. I said, we got a book we go by. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to figure it out. We've got an instruction book. It's called the Bible. And we don't play it by ear. We're not just going to decide. My kids knew what they could ask me ahead of time. Because they knew what answer they were going to get ahead of time. Come on. And they didn't play mama against daddy and daddy against mama. If daddy said no, that was it. And if they question why, I'd always say that. I'd say, because we got a book we go by. Amen. And so what we've got to be as a church, as a whole church, not just some of us, not just a preacher, not just a deacon, but the church has got to be obedient to the Word of God and the vision that God gives us. And most churches that fail, fail because they leave the Bible and they go to following something else. You know, do you know what a fad is? A fad. They used to have fads more than they do now, didn't they? You remember the hula hoop? That was a fad. I never could do that. I can't dance either. Shut up. Don't make fun of me. I'm the pastor. You remember the, what they call that ball and that paddle with a, the only thing I ever found it'd be good for was spanking your kids. Spanking your kids, that's on the, huh? Yeah, whip your youngins with it. Yo-yo, you ever had a yo-yo? I could walk the dog. I could. If he was close enough, I'd hit him in the head and he'd walk off. I never could get it to come back. I just throw it down. Fads, that's all they were, fads. Haircut fads, clothes fads. We'll not have fads in churches. God's word is forever settled in heaven. It changes not. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, preacher, you're too old-fashioned. I got an old-fashioned book. He hasn't changed. Just because some guy comes up one day with a pair of high-top kids that he's too immature to know how to lace up and he's 40 years old, that don't make him anything different than anybody else. He's done found him some fads in church. He's going to try them, and in the end, they're not going to work. Nobody's going to get any help. And the only one's going to get anything out of it is him and the rest of the staff that's on the payroll. Yeah, come on. I ain't doing fads. A fellow was here one time. He said, if we get so many people in Sunday school, I'm going to stand on top of the church and I'm going to sing Amazing Grace backwards. I don't like stuff like that, but let him do it. Because he was so tender. His feelings were just, he was just feet. You know what I mean? You had to tiptoe around him not to hurt his feelings. He's supposed to be a preacher. And so I said, all right, we'll do it. And you know what he did? He didn't get on top of the building. And I said, all right, well, at least you could sing Amazing Grace backwards. He said, okay, Amazing Grace. I wanted to slap him. I wanted to slap him in Jesus' name. I wanted to slap him and tell everybody that he was stupid. I mean, we're not doing that, amen? We don't need that. We've got the Word of God. We need to be obedient to the Word of God. Did you know that a lot of churches, they want their own way, not God's way? So they become social clubs. I can name you six Baptist churches in this town tonight that have owners. You know what owners are, don't you? Those are the ones that's been there so long they think they own the place. And they run it too, buddy. They do own it. I can take you to two churches tonight, Baptist churches in this town, Southern Baptist churches, that escorted preachers off the pulpit and out the door. Fired them right then and there. One of them was, you don't talk about Mormonism, my daughter's a Mormon. And he did it again, and they gave him a severance pay and walked him out the door right after the service. Two deacons did. Another one, they said, the deacon board went to him and said, you're preaching on hell too much, and so from now on, we want to see your sermons written before you preach them. Yeah. And that next Sunday, he didn't show them his sermon, and he preached on hell, and they escorted him out the door when he got through. You think God will bless that? No, God ain't going to bless that. See, they didn't want a church. They wanted a family reunion every year, every Sunday. They wanted a social club where they can have their dinners and their get-togethers and your softball team and your a volleyball team and your bowling league and whatever else kind of distraction they have now. They had fads. They didn't have the Word of God, and they weren't being obedient to the Word of God. They weren't going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. They weren't preaching the Word of God without fear or favor. They were not teaching the Bible. They were teaching a quarterly, and they were following the leadership of a denomination, might not have been the Pope, but it was the denominational Pope, the head of that denomination. The day that two men are married in this church, you'll shoot me, or I'll shoot them. I say, preacher, you mean. You ain't seen nothing what God's going to do to them. Well, they're good people. They might be good workers. They might have a nice yard. But if they go against God's word, they're not belonging here. Amen. Well, you hate people. No, I hate what they do. I'll never forget church I got saved in. And I loved my pastor. But he didn't run that church. He had no say-so. They let him preach. That was it. And we had a business meeting one night, and one of the deacons, the pastor got up and said something, and the deacon pointed at him and said, Pastor, you sit down over there and be quiet. We pay you to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and visit our sick and bury our dead. We'd had a fist fight that night. There'd have been a dead deacon at my church. And by the way, that church is now, it'll seat, I think, 500 or 600 people, and they have 100 and something. Can't keep a pastor. Now, let me tell you something. If we're not obedient to the heavenly vision of keeping people out of hell, and that's what the church is supposed to be here for, God will turn this place into a graveyard. He'll write Ichabod over the door. Amen? And I feel sorry for people that go to churches like that. You know why? It's hard to leave them. Mama went there. Grandma went there. Daddy went there. Grandpa went there. Some of them buried in the cemetery. I told a lady one day, she belonged to the AA, and y'all Methodists don't, well, get mad. I don't care. She belonged to one of these United Methodist Church where they had a preacher woman man, or is it man woman? And she didn't always dress like a man, but didn't quite look like a woman either, you know. She said, "I'd like to leave, but I can't. My parents are buried in the cemetery." I said, "That's all that's holding you up?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I know the people there. At every funeral home in Rock Hill, we can call them. And for about $2,000, we can have them dug up and put in any cemetery you want them put in. And they won't know the difference." I said, "If that's all that's holding you in there, I'd dig them up." Some of y'all act like you don't like that. But we'll be obedient to the Word of God, not movements and denominations and fads and all that junk. Amen? This church is here. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, you know what that does not mean? That people read it backwards. People read that, excuse me, they read it backwards. It doesn't say the gates of church, that hell won't prevail against the gates of the church. There are no gates on the church. It's the gates of hell that we're supposed to be storming and keeping people out of hell. Jude said, "Have compassion on some, pulling them from the fire." And when people are just about ready to drop off in hell, we'll be there at that last moment still trying to pull them out of fire. And the gate will not fear hell, will not fear the gates of hell. I've had people tell me, "I wouldn't preach against the devil if I was you. He'd jump on you." If he don't jump on me once a week, I feel backslid anyway. Amen. I mean, we're in a battle here, folks. Amen. There's people dying and going to hell, and you're sitting around watching television. And I would name what you're watching, but I don't even know no more. I got off that stuff. Amen? Let me tell you something. We have to be obedient to the heavenly vision of keeping people out of hell and spreading the gospel. That's why we're here. If you've got another reason, we need to quit. You can join Moose Lodge, get good company. You can join that. I don't know what all them clubs are. I better quit. But look. Number one, we got to be organized. God never does anything itself decently and in order. It ain't a free fall. Number two, we ought to be obedient to the Word of God. Number three, look at verse 32 there in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 32. Now, we got to be organized. What would it be like if Sunday school teachers said, "Well, I'll teach this Sunday if I show up"? We've had a few of them. What would it be like what if he never studied? What if he never visited? What if he never tried to keep people out of hell? What if he never went to the hospital or the funeral home? What if you had to sit here on Sunday and somebody said, "Well, where's the pastor?" And we said, "Oh, well, he must not be coming today." And then we got to be obedient. Look at verse 32 there. I hope you made it by now. Verse 32, he said, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Did you know we got to be forgiving, obliging people? You know what that's called? Friendly. Friendly. My brother is buried, my oldest brother is buried, in Mount Airy, North Carolina, at Friendly Baptist Chapel. That's the name of the church, Friendly Baptist Chapel. Wonderful church. And if you watch Andy Griffith, they mention Mount Airy a lot. But if we're going to have a church that's right with God, we've got to be friendly, hospitable, loving, forgiving people, and forgive people. You know, I don't hate anybody. I dislike the way a lot of people do. I wouldn't want to hang around with some people I know, but I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. When I got saved, God put His love in my heart. And there's been times in my life, Brother Ron, some bad times with people that's really hurt me that I wanted to get mad. I wanted to go blow something up. I wanted to tear something down. But the love of God would just sweep over me and He'd say, "No, you can't do that. Except by the grace of God, you'd do the same thing they did to you." when people come in this church, and we already have a reputation, they'll say, that's the friendliest church I've ever been in. People shook my hand, they hugged my neck. I had this one fellow tell me, he said, I've never been in church where women hug men's necks like that. I said, well, those women probably are glad to see you. He said, well, I'm just not used to that. I said, well, when you get to heaven, you think that you're just going to walk around with your hands tied behind your back and say, how you doing? How you? No, sir, man, you'll be loving when you get up there. I guarantee you. They'll be, hey, we'll be shaking hands and hugging necks and crying and weeping and laughing and shouting. And we'll have that kind of church, friendly church. We had a man here one time. We had some visitors come from New York State. They came down here to adopt a Catawba Indian baby that a girl was wanting to give away. And while they were here, they saw us on the internet, so they visited our church. He was a pastor from New York. Had him and his wife and the baby, I think. And they came kind of early, like a preacher would do. And after it was over, he said, I need to tell you something. I said, what? He said, that man you got leading the singing, most of y'all wouldn't even know who it was now. He said, that man y'all got leading the singing, said he come to me and my wife for a church start and said, y'all can't sit here. This is my seat. This is where me and my wife sit here every Sunday. He said, so we got up and moved. I said, he did. So I went to him. I said, let me tell you something, buddy. You don't own anything in here. That ain't your seat. That's God's seat. And you need to let people sit wherever they want to sit. And if you have to, you're supposed to be a leader around here. You ought to stand up somewhere in the corner and prop yourself up and let those people sit down. That's rude and unchristlike. You shouldn't have said anything to start with. You ought to walk on past, find you another seat. You're talking about selfish, self-centered, and unfriendly. Let me tell y'all something. When visitors come, if you look around, ain't no seat, you ought to get up. Get up. Get some chairs. I remember one Sunday was so full, Billy Boatwright and his wife opened that door right there and went in that room and sat right there on the edge of that room right there. You say, well, man, that was awful nice. No, that's the way it ought to be. If we're not friendly, who wants to come? A man, the Bible says, if he's to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Now, I grew up mean, hateful people, unfriendly people. Some of you did too. And I was that way myself. My wife, I remember when I was a teenager, I was dating my wife. She told this guy something about friends and all that. And that guy looked at her and said, Ron Roddy don't care if he's got friends or not. And he's telling the truth. But I got saved. And God put his love in my heart. And I want people to feel welcome at my house, at my church, anywhere I meet them. I want them to know that I care about them, that I love them. And I'm going to be friendly in order for them to feel comfortable. Amen? You say, well, I don't always feel friendly. You're supposed to die to yourself. Well, I just didn't like the way they looked. You're still supposed to die to yourself. Well, I didn't like the way they smell. Well, I don't like the way some of you smell. He stinketh. He's been dead 4 days already. You know, we'll be friendly to each other. We'll be friendly to each other. In this church, listen to me, you ought not have an enemy in this church. Now, I'm going to go ahead and warn you, there's some people come to this church you might not need to hang around with, but they ought not be your enemy. I told you about that woman stormed out of here mad at me today because I was talking against having worldly counselors. Now, I love her. She can come back and all that stuff, but I'm going to be friendly to everybody that comes in here, but I especially am going to be friendly to the people that belong here every Sunday. Amen? Well, I sit up. I've been in churches, and you've probably been in them. where you got a group that sits up here that don't talk to that group back there, and there's a group back there that don't talk to that group over there, and there's a group over there that don't talk to that group over there, and it looks like the Hatfields and the McCoys around there. They hate each other's guts. They don't talk to each other. They don't associate with each other. And then they'll come up to the preacher and they'll say, "Preacher, I don't know what's wrong. I think it's you." And the preacher needs to look at him and say, "No, it's you and you and you and you, you bunch of unfriendly reprobates. You ought to love God and love each other." If we're going to have a good church, if we're going to have a church God blesses, we're going to have to be friendly to each other and strangers. And the Bible says, by the way, you ought to entertain strangers unaware, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. I better go on. I can tell I'm rubbing some of you the wrong way. I'm going to lose a friend. You know, people look for happiness. People go to a church to where they can be happy. Some of y'all came here from other churches. You was unhappy where you were. The church had died. The people weren't friendly anymore. They didn't even talk to each other, much less a stranger. They didn't like the preacher. The preacher didn't like them. And my goodness, can you not see how that doesn't work? People look for happiness. People come in here, here's what they tell me. "I felt it as soon as I come in the room. People were happy." I said, we ought to be organized. We ought to know what we're doing. We ought to be obedient. We ought to be obliging. And then again, 1 John 5:4. Let's hurry. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. 1 John 5:4. Y'all just sing and sing and sing and sing. Then you expect the preacher to... 1 John 5:4. Those kids sang good this morning, though, didn't they? 1 John 5:4. Y'all did a good job on that. 1 John 5, verse 4. "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory of overcometh the world, even our faith. Did you know we'll be optimistic? Church ought to be the most optimistic place in town. Now, I'm not saying that we're positive about everything. We ought to be against some things, but we ought to be optimistic about being against things. Amen. We'll say, "America's going to hell in a handbasket, but I'm praying." We'll be optimistic. People come in and I say, "Where's your husband? Where's your wife? Where's your children?" They say, I just quit inviting them." I said, "Why?" Well, they won't come. I said, "Of course they ain't going to come, as long as you think like that." "Come on." "Well, preacher, I would teach Sunday school, but I just don't know if I can or not." "You can't." "Not talking like that." "Well, Pastor, I would sing in the choir, but you know, Brother Holroyd, he's got these ways of teaching. I just don't know I can add up to his expectations." "No, you won't, as long as you act like that." Amen? And I say, believe it or not, I say, I won't come over your house witness to whoever lives in your house. "They ain't no reason. It won't do no good. Ain't no use. They won't come. They won't listen to you, preacher." I said, "Well, as long as you live there, they won't." Look, I come down here expecting things to happen. I expect to see visitors every Sunday. I expect to see happy people. I expect to see God show up. I expect that. Now, every Sunday may not be like this morning, but every Sunday, God has never let me down, and I just keep looking forward to the next one because I know that God's greater than every bit of that stuff that we worry about. Amen? We'll be optimistic. I'm really down about, I've gotten down several times over a building, you know, trying to find a building, trying to decide should we build a building, trying to decide how big, and the old devil, he always comes back at me when I do. Here's what he says. "You had 90 there this morning, but you know Wednesday night it wasn't but 24. If you go building that big old building for 100 and something people, they're going to quit coming. You won't have but 24. the devil, don't he talk to you like that? Don't he discourage you like that? Amen. And I say, and I say, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Listen, we want to be optimistic. I believe God can do all things. I know He can. And won't not be discouraged or disheartened, because that distracts from people who are not discouraged and disheartened. Let me tell you something. Listen real close. This is real deep. It's real theological. You ready? If you're not happy here, go somewhere else. That's Ron chapter 1, verse 14. And you don't want to hear the first 13 before that one. Angry, disgruntled, dissatisfied, complaining, unhappy people will ruin a church. Now, if you got a legitimate grievance and there's a sin or there's something going that's wrong that you'd like to, that's fine. But I just don't like that song they sang today. They never sing my song. Go somewhere where they sing your song, leave me alone. Well, you know, the preacher, he had some good points in there, but watch out for them billy goats. But, you know, I love our pastor, but you know what you need to look at him? Look at him and say, why don't you go talk to him? I don't need to hear this.
Amen. Yeah.
Go tell him, you coward. Amen. I told somebody today, I said, if they come complaining to you, tell them to come to me. Disgruntled, discouraged, disheartened people will distract from what God wants to do. And it'll discourage other people from coming. You know, nobody wants to come see you if all you do is complain. You know, you got friends and family members. You don't go see them, though you love them, because you know when you get there, you're going to say, boy, ain't a nice day. Yeah, but it probably rain. Boy, the sun's shining and everything's lovely. And you say, man, that's beautiful weather out there. Yeah, but it's going to freeze over next week. Going to kill all the flowers. Probably freeze the fish. You like my new... I'm going to get choked. You like my new suit? Yeah, but it's a little tight in the back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Church members get the same way. Now, if it's legitimate, that's fine. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't bring everybody down just because I wasn't happy. You know, there's some widow ladies in here don't need to hear your complaining, because they got enough heartache and heartbreak already without your sorry, low down griping and complaining. You know, there's some men in here that's already discouraged without you trying to increase it by you complaining about the church or being a little bit too crowded on your pew, or that somebody sat on your pew last week. And you know, I'd rather lose one griper and complainer than to lose 10 good people who didn't want to sit around them and be around them. We drove those buses all those years, 18 years, and I had a rule. Here was the rule. If I called you down a couple of times, by the way, they sat down on my bus. They behaved on my bus. And if they didn't, they had two strikes. Third one, they was out. I said, you're off. That's it. Because one bad kid will scare off 10 or 12 good kids. That's the same way with adults. And so if we're going to have a real successful growing where people get saved, people get right with God, we got to be optimistic, because that's what people's looking for.
Amen.
You know, we'll come in here looking for somebody to get saved. We'll come in here looking to be blessed. Amen. I better hurry and tell I lost about four of you on that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. By the way, those people will never come to me. They never come to me. They may go to Rudy. They may not, because they don't like what he's got to say either. Usually they'll go to some lesser person in the church who has no authority and no way to do anything, but they'll give them an ear. There's a preacher in the town, and he said, he told his congregation this. He said, if you're ill and mad and upset and not happy here, don't move your letter. He said, because I don't want you to go somewhere else and ruin that church too. Just stay right here. We done got used to you. Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Many a truth is said in jest. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, what he's talking about is this. Don't waste the grace. Don't receive that forgiveness of sin and that salvation in vain. Now, you're going to stay out of hell, but you're supposed to help other people stay out of hell too. And if you're not occupied doing something for the Lord, my mama used to say, idle hands are the devil's workshop. You're going to find something to do. And watch out for these churches that end up breaking up into these little home prayer groups because they end up into home gossip and griping groups, not prayer groups. And they'll destroy a church. These new Southern Baptist churches, they got what they call cell groups instead of Sunday school. I said, if we named them cell groups at my church, people wouldn't come because a lot of them spend a lot of years in a cell. They don't want to go back to that. We ain't call them cell groups. We got Sunday school, amen? And we ain't having no outside prayer meetings, all that stuff, unless everybody gets to come. But watch out when you only get invited to certain little groups and little cliques. Here's the best way to fix that. Get busy. Billy and his family, we don't give him many roses. I'm going to give him one. His family, they are faithful at that nursing home. Unless somebody's sick or dying, or they in Florida. But other than that, they'll be there. They'll be there. Faithful. No reward. Those old people, there's not much reward there. They'll tell you they love you, you know, but they'll tell anybody that walks in the door. And they're faithful. They're going to be there. Ron preaches at 4 nursing homes. I've given him a few flowers. I'm going to give you one more. One more. Just one more. No. I'm going to give you. Stay out of my preaching. I'm preaching at you. Stay out of my preaching. You can preach. It's over yonder. Don't. 4 nursing homes. Faithful at it. Went today sick over at Billy's nursing home. Sick. Did he preach today? He preached like he was sick. Amen. You know, as long as you're busy like that doing something for the Lord and for others, you don't get disgruntled. You look around there and you say, thank God I get to walk out of here today. Just about every time I go to the hospital and visit somebody and I get on the elevator and somebody gets on it with me, I always start up a conversation, you know, a little witness, not much, ain't much time on the elevator. But then they say, well, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I get to walk out. Thank God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people in here will never get out of this place. And I get to walk out today on my own 2 feet. I'm blessed. Amen. And we need to get busy. We ought to get occupied about the Lord's business. We got folks come to church one time a month. One time a month. What are they doing the other 3 Sundays? What are they doing all those other... And by the way, we have church 3 times a week. If you ain't going to church but once a month, all you got to do is miss one service and you'll be out of church altogether. You need to get in church and find something to do. Sing in the choir. Get your handful of gospel tracts, spread them all over town. Go down there at the nursing home, sing with him. Go down there and sing with him. Bring people out. Go help people. Look, we'll get some people together to take you visiting if we could find some. Get busy. Do something for God. Do something for other people for a change instead of what's the church going to do for me? You'll say, what can I do for the church? You'll never see him again. Frogs were one of the plagues in Egypt, you know that much. You thought I lost my place, didn't you? Listen. Want to get occupied because the Bible, James says, faith without works is dead. He said, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Because faith without works is dead. And now listen to this real close, another deep theological thought, okay? A church without works is dead. Get busy. Be a blessing to somebody. When you hear somebody's home, people at home, and I didn't do it to you because you were so contagious and I died, but when I find out people are having hard times, and it doesn't matter what it is, I'll go buy KFC heals a multitude of sins. I'll go get a bucket of KFC and go by their house. They'll knock on the door and say, listen, I just want you to know we're praying for you. Just leave a bucket of chicken. I've taken a bucket of apples or whatever, a basket of apples. I've taken, I'll never forget. Not long ago, I took a pumpkin pie to somebody. Now, if that ain't Christianity, ain't nothing. Get busy. You know what? If you quit feeling sorry for yourself, you can find somebody else a whole lot worse off than you are.
Amen.
In our church, I'm not supposed to be the only one around here busy.
Amen.
Now, I'll do it. I did it before you got here. If you leave, I'll still be doing it when you're gone. But I'm not supposed to be the only one working around here.
Amen.
We're in this together. Growing churches or working churches. You're not saved by works, but you sure are. You ought to have some works. You know what? You Sunday school teachers, you know what you ought to do? Quit showing up on Sunday just to teach a lesson and be a pastor to your class. Call them when they see it. Send them cards on their birthday. Go by and see mom and daddy and try to encourage them a little bit. You folks that sing in the choir, you know what? You ought to consider yourself ministers to this church. Because when you get up here and sing, there's people, my daughter sat over there for a year with a broken heart when her husband died. And when you sing in the choir, you'll look at people like that and say, it's my job today to bless that little old girl right there. It's my job to bless that older lady, her husband's in the hospital today. It's my job, and I'm going to practice, and I'm going to do it the best I can. I didn't just come in here to show up and holler. Choir director ought to be their pastor. Preacher? Preacher Holroyd, you're their pastor. Amen? Amen. We're all pastors to somebody. We're all supposed to be working to help somebody stay out of hell. And that's the whole thing. We do all this stuff to keep somebody out of hell. We don't do it just for us. We're supposed to be doing it for others.
Amen.
And what's the old saying about joy? Jesus first. Yourself last and others in between, and we'll have a great church. Wednesday, come back Wednesday. We're studying the doctrines of Christ. We're going to talk about Him being God in the flesh this week. But don't come in here and say, bless me, Lord. What you ought to do is come in here and say, Lord, make me a blessing. Don't come in and say, well, encourage me, Lord. You ought to come in here and say, help me to be an encouragement to somebody else, Lord. And that'll be work. And it's hard work. But it works. And people will be saved. And people will be blessed. And you'll be rewarded. Let's stand. Father, thank you for a local church. Thank you.